My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Diggs.
What was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
That always gives me the idea, like, we should... Should we try to get Cheryl Bosa on tomorrow? We could talk to her about holdouts.
Yes.
All right, yeah. Let's see. Let's see if we can do that.
Is she cooking for Trent Williams? And how many eggs would
how
be in his
eggs
omelet?
Would be in Brandon Ayuk's omelet tomorrow morning? We'll ask Cheryl. Anyway, subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can do Steiny and Goo and Bonte and Joe there as well, and hear all about George Kittle, who joined the show earlier this morning, if you would like to check that out. It's really, really good. Thanks for being with us, Willard and Dibs. We're excited about this on the River Islands guest line. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora, who host of the Odyssey original podcast In the Huddle, along with Brian Baldinger and Carl Dukes, covering the entire NFL. Jason is locked in with the best of them out there and is kind enough to join us now. Hey, Jason, what's going on, man? Thanks for doing it.
What's going on, gentlemen? My pleasure.
Not enough is the answer, and we want to get to your article about the bad vibes with the Niners, but can we start with something that we feel is, I guess, kind of newsy with the Eagles and Commanders trading earlier today, and the whole Jaden Daniels thing? We've heard a renewed sort of buzz about, like, maybe is Washington back in conversations about Brandon Ayuk? What would you say to that?
I mean, I would say nothing's ruled out. I mean, I talked to people from several teams who've been in on this thing early in the week, and they were basically of the mindset that the 49ers had indicated to them that they were all about trying to get this done with the player. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get it done with the player, and this thing has taken numerous twists and turns and has obviously dragged on ad nauseum. So I wouldn't – until he's got a contract somewhere and this is resolved, I wouldn't rule out any scenario. I don't know about this. You know, it's not like Dotson was carrying a big number or they had to move cap space. You know, I mean, Washington's not paying anybody. So I don't necessarily, that doesn't do much really. You know what I mean? For me, it's more that we're now approaching, you know, Thursday evening, and a lot of people who thought this was going to be done on Monday or Tuesday still, at least as of now, have a chance to perhaps land Brandon Ayuk. It's quite a saga.
Yes, it's quite a saga. In other words, it's been our entire show for the past six to 8 weeks, Jason. And, you know, it just, I wish I knew how to quit you is kind of how I feel, a little bit of a Brokeback Mountain reference to the story, but we just can't, we can't quit it. Now I'm reading your piece, and you said, you know, he doesn't want to take less than 30 with the Niners, yet you quoted a source that, you know, the Niners have entered at 29 reportedly a year. So if they're this close to getting a deal done, what's
the hold up? The guarantees.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know about the guarantees. And there could be something really, you know what I mean? Really screwy there. But and even when you're quote unquote close in something like this, because it's going on so long and because it is so sort of personal, and because, like, even if this happens, at this point, it's a marriage of convenience, right? It's because they gave him enough to finally say, F it, I'll come back, you know? And they're going to feel like, well, this went, you know, they obviously don't like this kind of stuff. Like, they're not used to people calling them out and dragging things out. And, you know, they're used to kind of bullying people and getting contracts done when they want to get them done. So, I mean, it's not normal. It's certainly off. And if he's there, it's going to be because, again, they finally sort of put enough in front of him to do it. But I don't know. Like, as I said in the piece, like, there might be a huge chasm in guaranteed money. And the 49ers, we know, are very particular about how they pay out their guarantees, about their language. There's certain things that they hold a hard line on. And multiple people have told me that, you know, there's certain things that they've got the sense that Jed and Prague are not willing to move on. Now, closer we get to week one and the more this offense looks like something not quite what people are used to, who knows? Maybe that nudges them further together.
Jason LaConfora with us here on 95.7 The Game. Jason, the word that we noticed kept popping up in the article that you wrote was vibes. How would you describe the 49ers' vibes right now?
I mean, off. Funky. You got two of their most important players at war with the team over the money. And look, there's a lot of people who feel like when stuff gets real, Trent will get put to bed, and you know what I mean? No harm, no foul, and you don't want the big man doing anything anyway. But like, again, until it's done, it's not. So, I mean, again, you want to talk Super Bowl losing curse, we can. You want to talk about, you know, locker room being a little off because guys who've done what they think they you know, have done enough for that team to get paid there are having trouble getting paid there. Then you want to talk about whatever, how things have looked at some practices or how things have looked at some preseason games. You want to talk about, hey, maybe the Rams and Seattle, maybe even Arizona, are a little better than some people think. I mean, you could start building a case for this year could certainly be at least far more challenging than last year.
As to the Super Bowl hangover, do you think that's a real thing, or is it just a case of a team going through that much success and then you have players who come out and they want more? Is it a case where you play that many extra games, it's hard to ramp it back up the next year? Why do you think that there is this Super Bowl losing hangover?
I mean, I think some of it is when you come that close and it doesn't happen, you know, it brings out different things in different people. I do think when you have as much of success as they've had, and I can remember this going back to being a Cub reporter covering the Detroit Red Wings and then winning back-to-back Stanley Cups and me talking to people in their front office, like, about how excited they are. And they're like, yeah, we love it, but trust me, everybody thinks they're 25 to 30% better than they really are because, you know, because we're winning Cups and we're going deep, and you know, it becomes difficult to appease everybody. And certain people maybe think they're a little bigger part of it than they really were. So, yeah, there's that to it. It's the extra games and the accumulation of that. Everybody getting a year older, being the hunted. And it's just sort of variance, too. I mean, it's they had a three-game, like a three-week period last year, right, where they were out a bunch of key guys.
Yep.
And it fell apart. And then everybody was able to come back and they beat the crap out of Jacksonville. And then whoop, the magic carpet ride goes again until the Super Bowl. That doesn't happen every year.
Jason LaConfora with us. Jason, I also noticed, you know, You referenced that three-game losing streak. It was Deebo Samuel and Trent Williams who were out. We call them the Boombox Boys. They're the guys who bring the team onto the field. They're their heart and soul. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if you can speak to this idea. Brandon Ayuk is their number one receiver, but it's not like other number one receivers. Like, he's not the game plan. He's not the guy that makes him tick. Is that part of this? Do you think Kyle Shanahan doesn't really see Brandon? He sees him as important, but not like vital.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, we know what Kyle's history has been at the wide receiver and quarterback position, and they feel like they can sort of create guys, right? And we can scheme things up. And I think it's also one eye into the future. Like, it's not just about giving Ayuk 30. It's about giving him and Purdy 95 or 100, or, you know what I mean, or whatever that number turns out to be. And is that viable? But things have conspired against him, right? Pearsall can't get on the field. My buddy Baldy, you know, rewatching their first two preseason games, isn't impressed by the depth at wide receiver whatsoever. You know, he thinks that it's pretty egregious. And you're only one injury away from, you know, if Ayuk's holding out week one, hypothetically, and God forbid Deebo gets hurt, then what are we talking about? Yeah, there's not a whole lot of there. So I'm sure that's part of how they're looking at it. But the guy they drafted to show him that, hey, you're not all that, hasn't gotten on the field. So if you're Brandon Ayuk and you're looking at this same film and you're around the team and you see what's going on, like, really? 1,342 yards? You don't, no big thing? Okay. Then trade me somewhere where I'll get it, or find out what it looks like without it.
Does the late date of this, though, hamper his ability to play the trade card again, offset by the fact that they don't have great wide receiver depth? Do those two factors really push these two sides back together and into what you called a marriage of convenience?
Well, I think that's why we still don't have a resolution, is because there's it's really them, ultimately, right? Like, they could trade him. Like, other people will give him money that he's willing to take there. They're kind of not willing to do it. So, to me, it's kind of like they're sending out all these, like, all these sort of signals one way, to your earlier point about, hey, you know, we've got a great scheme here. We've got a great quarterback. Like, you know, receivers can come and go. But at the same time, I think there's also a part of them that's sitting there having, you know, I don't want to call them personnel meetings, but Kyle sitting in Lynch's office or whatever, and they're really staring at that whiteboard, and it's like, do we? Like, you know, like, how, what, like, what is Pearsall, and what are some of these other guys, and what does Brock Purdy look like without, you know, a whole bunch of really dynamic chess pieces around him? So part of me wonders, again, if at some point they do just capitulate and do things they're not willing normally to do because of what you just talked about. Because if you look at that big picture, you could paint it in a way where they're a Deebo Samuel injury away from being a whole, you're going to be running, right, a whole bunch of 12 personnel and running the hell out of Christian McCaffrey. And not that that's not going to be a big part of what they are anyway, but he's also a year older and he's more expensive now.
Jason, when you look at everything we're talking about, and you know, everybody knows this is kind of, it's been a hard camp to remove the negativity from the sound, but does it lead you down the road of thinking that the Niners are not the NFC favorite? Do you like someone else instead?
I like Green Bay. Yeah, I like the Packers. And look, we all saw that football game. I mean, you could very easily have had the scenario but the Green Bay Packers advance, you know, out of San Francisco. They were the youngest team in the league. They really gelled. I just love what they're building there. There's no way their special teams can be as bad as they've been forever. And I like the defensive coordinator hire. The quarterback is just scratching the surface. I like Green Bay. You know, and look, if the Rams, I hear Cooper Kupp is looking good, and if they can keep Stafford on the field, like, I think it's going to be a real dogfight between the Rams and the 49ers. So that's, I don't think it's going to be like last year. I don't think people are going to be crowning that division. you know, at Thanksgiving or anything like that.
Jason, one last thing on Brandon. Can we look at this through the eyes of the other teams? Have we reached a point where it doesn't make sense, both because of the calendar and the cost? Like, these teams would not only need to meet that contract, they'd need to give up large assets. Does this make sense for another team?
Well, yeah, because this isn't like a rental at the major league trade deadline. Like, you're playing the long game here. I mean, whether we're talking Washington or Pittsburgh, and look, I think Pittsburgh has everything broke right, and Justin Fields plays like mature, like whatever, develops into what he was drafted in hopes of being, then they might be more contending than Washington. But no, I mean, I don't think they, like, anybody's sweating that. Like, I mean, I think these teams would still be in on it at the trade deadline, even if they didn't look like they were going to go to the playoffs this year, because you're getting, you know, a young receiver who you think you've got 3-4 more good years with. So, no, I mean, I don't think that would be a huge, you know, deterrent one way or the other. It's not like they're looking for this player to put them over the top, you know, right now. Again, Pittsburgh maybe a little more so than Washington, but this would be a fundamental, you know, foundational building chip for them.
Did I hear you just say that Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers?
I think he will be. But I thought he'd be their starting quarterback before they even acquired him. So maybe you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But yeah. I have said all along, even when people were telling everybody in the world that they promised Russ this and they promised Russ that. Yeah. Promises in April are cute. Like, football, you know, Mike Tomlin plays football in September. Mike Tomlin, especially now with Warren being out, they're going to have to run the ball. They're going to have to run the ball dynamically. And Russ's days of playing around at the mesh point are long gone.
Interesting stuff. Yeah. Jason, great work as always, and we thank you, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. That was Odyssey NFL insider Jason LaConfora. Make sure to follow In the Huddle on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. What do you think?
I think that if his reporting is true, and I take him at his word, if they're, you know, $30 million is what he wants to stay for, and the Niners have come up to 29, and we're sitting here on August 22nd, even though the Commanders now have a greater need for a receiver, I don't see a trade happening. So now it just becomes the same painful march toward, what are we going to do then? Do we come up to 29.25 and you come down? And according to his piece, it doesn't seem like he wants to stay for any less than $30 million a year. Maybe the sticking point is the guaranteed money. I just don't know if a trade makes sense for the 49ers at this late date. It didn't make sense a week ago.
Well, no.
So why would it make sense now?
It's never made sense in August.
Right.
It's never made sense. You don't shop your good players in August when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. But there are so many things about this that don't make any sense. Again, you just said it. If we're to believe reporting, somehow, and again, this is all like reported in Twitter, but somehow I'm supposed to believe that Brandon Ayuk, quote, wants to stay, yet was pushing to go to Pittsburgh for $28.5 million, and then the Niners have now come up above that, and he still won't sign. I get it. There could be something wonky with the guarantees. There are other aspects to the contract, but you make sense of that for me. I'm Brandon Ayuk. I want to be a Niner. Well, we're only offering 26. Well, then send me to the Steelers for 28.5. Sorry, we haven't been able to come together on a deal. All right, then will you guys come up from 26? Sure, we'll fly all the way by the Steelers and go to 29. Still don't want to sign. What the hell is going on? That doesn't make any sense.
This is directly from the Jason LaConfora piece in the Washington Post. While Ayuk has intimated that he would be prepared to sign a long-term deal for less than $30 million annually in order to facilitate a trade, he also has indicated to the 49ers he won't take less than that to stay. So he has intimated that he would take less than $30 to go elsewhere, but he's not going to stay for less than $30. This is according to Jason LaConfora and in the piece in the Washington Post.
Gosh.
So that
doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make you feel very good about it if this is true.
No.
And then he goes on to say, one person heavily involved in the process said the Niners entered Tuesday, 2 days ago, at $29 million a year, And he says, obviously, that's not a huge gulf. But he also adds in parentheses, it's unclear how close the sides may be on full contract guarantees. So Ayuk says, in essence, I'll take less than 30 if you trade me to another team. Well, they had a deal with New England, and he was reportedly going to get more than 32 or 33, and that was nixed. But he'll take less than 30 to go where he wants, but he won't take less than 30 to stay. If this is really the way it's going, then if I'm the Niners, then I'm at the end of my rope.
Yeah, like basically what you're saying is this is a reverse hometown discount.
Exactly.
And the only reason I would think that that makes any sense, if I can just take a moment to like guess what's going on in Brandon's head, is you're the Niners, you've taken care of all of your guys. I'm offended that you're not taking care of me. So that's the number by which you need to take care of me. And if you're not willing to hit that, I'll take a little bit less to go somewhere else because I'm not going to ask them to take care of one of their guys because I'm not one of their guys. And it's late in the game. It's August. And so they're going to have to,
yeah.
Right. Now, well, but this started, that sure, concept yeah. started in early August. And so, yeah, I'll acknowledge that it's late in the game and they, you know, and they're going to have to give up assets to get me. It's almost like you're feeling sympathy for them. And yes, to your point, if that's true and I'm the Niners, oh, I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Like you're saying, it's the opposite of a hometown discount. It's the complete opposite. So you're willing to give another team that you don't know, an acquiring team, a discount, but not the 49ers. And that's what makes me think about this Jahan Dotson trade today, where Washington now has, in essence, an opening for a wide receiver one. He really would be a wide receiver two with Terry McLaurin there. Whatever, labels disable. But now Washington might be a team that, like Jason just said in our interview, you're not just signing him for 1 year. If you're an acquiring team, you're thinking about Brandon Ayuk for 3 and 4 years. So if you're Washington, you might look at it and say, yeah, it's worth it to us to give him, you know, $30 million a year, although he'll take less than 30 to go to a team. And he plays alongside his buddy Jaden Daniels, and he becomes a commander, and it becomes more of a long-term play for Washington if they're back in play.
Granny, what do you got?
A little bit of news from around the NFL, not Niners related, so it does not deserve the breaking news sounder, but a star lineman, offensive lineman, is getting a massive extension. This comes from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. The Chiefs and Pro Bowl center Creed Humphrey have agreed to terms on a massive new deal to make him the NFL's highest paid center. So another extension eligible player signs a new deal, and still the Niners have not handled their business.
Well. Yeah,
I love that we tied. I love that we tied the Chiefs center to Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. What was he holding out, or was
no?
He
was not.
Okay, well then. And what's his name? Creed Humphrey.
Creed Humphrey.
You know what is fun about football? There are superstars that you've never heard of.
Right, the highest paid center in football now.
Yeah,
Creed Humphrey.
Right, Creed Humphrey. I'm like that's the band that copied Pearl Jam, right? Creed? Is that who this is? And the Chiefs signed it? All right, good.
I heard some Creed in the cafe yesterday. We were getting a bagel and a smoothie, and I thought of you. It was not with arms wide open. It was their other big hit.
Can you take me higher?
Can you take me higher? Yeah. That came on in the cafe, and I thought of you. It made me smile.
Freaking.
My two-year-old's having a bagel and a smoothie, and I'm sitting there grinning ear to ear.
Copycats.
Totally.
Copycats.
Anyway, congrats to Creed. And as Jason Lockenforest says in his Washington Post article, this Trent Williams holdout is a wink-wink holdout. Like you said, he's coming in, and he's probably going to come in on Monday.
I bet Trent's in on Monday.
Yeah, or Monday or Tuesday. You're going to have 2 weeks, and he's not just sitting there on the couch getting heavy. He's doing the work, and he'll be fine for the opener. Yeah, just an uncomfortable way he describes it in his article.
It's just weird. And I know that's a big sentence in American politics right now. This is just weird.
It reminds me of
the whole thing, both sides.
This is the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes.
Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Yes. And the character Veruca Salt and the way she'd like...
Which was a band once upon a time also.
Named after the character. Yes, and the way yes. she... I want it now, Daddy! And it's just... It makes me feel like this is the way Brandon Ayuk is conducting this, and the Niners are playing the role of Veruca's dad, who's got the entire factory looking for the golden ticket, and she's sitting up there, and he's, you know, here, have a golden goose. I want two golden gooses.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like to take her phrase. Same thing. I want it now.
Totally.
I want this over now. But
big time.
Like, we could make a list of all of the things that are weird about this. So now, and again, they're all just reports, so maybe there's some truth, maybe there's not. But like, so now it's being reported that Brandon Ayuk is performing a reverse hometown discount on the Niners. That's weird. The 49ers are shopping one of their best players in August of a Super Bowl year. That's weird. Brandon Ayuk has been offered the second highest contract for a wide receiver in the NFL and said no.
That's weird.
That's weird. Yeah. Brandon Ayuk has been offered contracts by at least four teams when he's not a free agent. That's weird.
It goes on and on.
This is so weird. This is weird.
It is, and it doesn't seem to get any less weird, and it really doesn't feel like we're any closer. I mean, the breaking news sounder could go, and this thing could be done toot sweet, but the more you get reports from Michael Silver, Jason Lockenfor, or anybody else that is in and around the NFL, people who know what they're talking about, it still feels like a trade might be out there, and it also feels like a contract extension could happen. But at the same time, we've said this now for the better part of 6 weeks, like I was telling Jason Lockenfor. This thing is eternal. It just doesn't go away.
Well, I'm trying to run everything through a believability filter.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, do you believe that it, you know, I know everyone, oh, it's a fluid situation, and this could happen. Don't rule out the Steelers, and now let's add the Commanders to the list. Oh, man. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are still sitting by the phone like somebody who just went on a first date and won't get a call back for weeks, and they're still just going, ring. Come on. Come on, one ringy-dingy. Come on. Come on, ring. With a game in 2 weeks.
We saw a trade today. A team that fancies itself as a Super Bowl contender made a trade to acquire a player because they think that they need more offensive weapons. So a trade happened today.
But that's a much more bit part. You're always going to see trades at the end, right before roster cut down, because you're looking at players who are like established, and you may be thinking, yeah, they're really actually not going to play that big of a role on this team, or we don't love them, or we've got a young guy that no one knows about that we think is better. And so you call the league. And you're like, right, could we get something for this? So you're going to see trades. I think the 49ers might trade one of their backup quarterbacks.
I think they'll trade one of their backup running backs.
Like, they're absolutely...
But those are bits.
And right. Like, this is supposedly one of the top 10 wide receivers in the game.
But I think that because there's been so much groundwork laid by the Niners and by New England and the Browns and Pittsburgh and maybe the Commanders, because there's been so much conversation that if the Niners and Brandon Ayuk get to a point where they just can't do it, they just can't get this thing across the finish line, then a trade could already be in place, and it could happen. So I don't know if Pittsburgh is just sitting staring at the phone, but I would imagine that they are ready to, if the phone rings, accept a trade and bring Brandon Ayuk in.
I have a hard time believing that a trade would still be pulled off. Like, and again, you know, you notice the wave of information as it comes out. And it always comes out at a time when it feels like the Niners are ticked off because we're not getting the thing across the goal line when they feel it should be across the goal line. So all of a sudden, here comes the trade talk again. And I don't think Brandon wants to be traded. I really don't. Like, with every passing day, this is worse for him. You think he's going for 1,000 yards in Washington this year?
No, his buddy's going to throw him the ball every time.
Got 2 weeks to go and a rookie quarterback. 2 weeks to go. And a rookie quarterback who hasn't caught a pass from him in four, five years. That we're gonna, and there's an already entrenched WR1 in the building.
Yeah.
You could go for 1,000 yards in Washington this
year? Probably. They're going to throw it all
the time. Probably
not. They're going to be pretty bad, and they're going to be forced to throw.
Yeah.
And your buddy's going to be looking for you. And I don't think that he would look at it like, you know, I need my personal numbers to be what they are. It's clear that he just wants, he wants money, and he wants to be where he wants to be. And if he wants to be a Niner, he sure is making it difficult on them to make this happen.
Let me switch it up also to the other thing that Jason was talking to us about, which is vibes.
Yeah.
So here's something that, for my money, has become all too popular. And that is the Super Bowl hangover. The vibes are bad. Watch out. The Niners are actually going to have an unexpected down year. So to me, that's now the trendy thought. When a Super Bowl hangover gets you is when you don't see it coming. It's become all too easy now to, quote, see it coming. Now, maybe this just feels emotional and conceptual to you. I get that. These are all just predictions. But this is like a Super Bowl hangover. That comes from big expectations that then suddenly the season starts. Take the Bengals. They narrowly miss against the Rams a few years ago. And then the next year, they're like, oh, God, that just was surprisingly bad. But at the beginning of the year, what'd you hear? Watch out for those Bengals, man. They came real close, and they're coming. And they're really good. That's what you thought in August. And then all of a sudden, poof, the air comes out of the balloon as the season starts. This one's way too telegraphed for me. I don't like it's now in style to predict that the Niners will not be as good as you think they're going to be. That's not usually the way it works.
The Bengals actually had a great year. The year after they lost the Super Bowl, they went to the AFC Championship game and lost to Mahomes.
Yeah.
They went 12-4, coming off a year where they had just 10 wins, so they actually got better. And they just didn't make the Super Bowl you don't always get to go to the Super Bowl.
Bad example, maybe.
That's an okay example.
But Super, like, you, every year now we do this.
Of course.
Oh, if you lose the Super Bowl, you're not going to be good the next year. And then, but it doesn't, you don't know that on August 22nd.
Think about the Niners. Like, when they went to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Chiefs the first time.
Yes.
And you had Jimmy G coming back. The expectation was not for them to go 6-10.
Sure.
Jimmy G gets hurt.
He got hurt.
Everybody tears their ACL in New York on the MetLife joke of a field, and the season goes down the toilet. So you don't know how any season's going to go. And I wouldn't look at the Niners right now and think, well, Super Bowl hangover, 10-7 at best. They're coming back down to earth. This camp has not gone well. And the vibes, as you were talking about, the vibes around them trying to repeat and win the Halas Trophy again as NFC champions, the teams around them have gotten better, and the vibes aren't great. What have we talked about so far in this camp? Brandon Ayuk hold in, Trent hold out, and a lot of injuries, and boy, Brock Purdy sure looked bad in that second preseason game.
But I'll bet you'll agree with me on this. What fixes the vibes?
A win.
1-0.
Yep, no doubt.
1-0. We'll be in here on September 10th. If they win that game by 10-plus points, we'll be in here on September 10th. They're like, ah! We did it to Aaron Rodgers again. Let's go. LFG, game time. We got a remote. Like, that's all it takes. This is really nothing more than that. It is simply talk.
But what exacerbates or worsens the vibes that have been kind of negative around this team? Well, you go out in the opener at home on Monday Night Football, and you lose to the Jets. And the Jets' defense, which is good, pushes through your offensive line. You got questions in your O-line, and Aaron Rodgers on one good leg carves you up, and you lose 21-20 at home on a Monday night, and you're 0-1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, vibes, you're right. Vibes are very,
by the way,
related to how you do in any week.
What if the vibes of camp were incredible? Incredible. Oh, my God, they're all, like,
everyone's healthy and everyone's here.
Did you notice that after every practice, they all gather hand in hand and sing? It's amazing.
Be great.
They even have a Rockettes deal that they do at the 50-yard line.
Yeah,
they
do leg kicks.
And then they walk off the field together every single day. and then September 9th comes and your 21-20 loss happens. Well, then you could take your vibes and shove them up your wahoo.
Well, think about last year. The Kansas City Chiefs, they were defending Super Bowl champs. They played the Thursday opener against, well, I'm going to bite a kneecap, the Detroit Lions.
Great point.
And the Chiefs were still reeking of champagne from their parade, and their vibes were fantastic. And they went out there, and they didn't look good, and they lost the opener. And they proceeded to have somewhat of an uneven year. The offense was not great. Rashee Rice came in and was fantastic, and they gutted out some games. And, you know, they made it in the playoffs, and they won a division that was down. And then next thing you know, they win the Super Bowl again.
They won the Super Bowl.
So you're right. Vibes, schmibes, it doesn't really matter.
And how about how many times did we need to see the 49ers be stuck halfway through the year and then end up in the NFC title game? How about the Jimmy to LA year? Weren't they 3-5? Weren't they 3-5 eight games in? Correct me if I'm wrong.
In 2019?
They're 3-5. Jimmy plays, was it against Chicago or someone on him? And literally everyone was like, if he looks bad tonight, he's going to lose his job. And they're handing it to Trey Lance. And he went out there and looked good, and they came within a play or two of the Super Bowl. So, like, I guess the only message there is, dude, this is so long.
Yeah.
These next 5 months are so long. There's going to be so many twists and turns. If you think the vibes are bad now, just wait. I promise you there'll be at least one point where they're worse. They were terrible last year when they lost 3 in a row and went into a bye.
Yeah, 5-3, though, so.
Yeah, but it was a whole month of crap.
It was rough.
The Niners lost 3 games and then didn't play. It was an entire month in a year that we remember as like, wow, that was incredible. For a whole month, we hated it.
2021's a great example because they were 2-0. They lost 3 straight, had the bye, came out of the bye, and lost to the Colts at home.
Oh, I remember that
game. To fall to 2-4.
She's in the rain. They were terrible.
You win at Chicago, you lose to Arizona 3-5, as you said, and you were this close to Yank and Jimmy.
Jimmy was getting benched.
Yeah, and then you won 7-9.
What was the next game? When they were 3-5, who'd they play?
They beat the Rams at Levi's.
That's what it was.
Yep.
That was the game. If Jimmy looks bad that night, he loses the gig.
Yeah.
And you hand it over to Trey Lance at 3-6.
You go to Jacksonville, you win. You host Minnesota and win. You're 6-5. You lose at Seattle. Fine. Tough place to play. You win at Cincinnati in overtime. You beat Atlanta. You're 8-6. You took third in the division. And you needed that overtime win over the Rams in the last game of the year to get in.
Yep.
As you remember.
And then you blocked a punt, right? In Green Bay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So you're right. Vibes can be very fickle. I'm just saying right now, and what Jason was saying, the vibes around this team, Super Bowl hangover, it's going to be an interesting start to the year.
No question, but I'd also argue if the vibes are going to be bad, do it in August.
Sure.
Hasn't hurt the standings yet. You know what I mean? I take bad August vibes way over November vibes. Like, no one's losing any games.
That's true.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay, except for... if the Brandon thing goes on too much longer, then I think it's not okay.
Or if it ends with him as a Commander or him as a Steeler.
No, I actually think listen, if I had to give you this, you got 3 options. Brandon signs, Brandon gets traded, or Brandon does not sign and just stays and the fight goes on. Wouldn't you agree that the stay and fight is the worst option?
Absolutely.
I would rather him get traded than stay here and have this fight just last all year long.
Just stay in Clay.
He's either going to sit out or he's going to play. And my God, the eyeballs on him.
Yeah.
If he's on his fifth year option and he's playing mad.
Exactly.
And he's paid the camera after every sideline. Every time, he got overthrown. Well, let's follow him to the sideline.
Yep.
Is he calling Jaden? Is he FaceTime? Is he on TikTok right now?
Every time he's open with his hand up and we check it down to the other side, we check it down to Christian McCaffrey. And he throws his hands up. We're going to see that on replay over and over. You're right about fifth-year option Brandon Ayuk and not being happy. So I agree with you about the worst-case scenario for the Niners.
I guess what I'm saying on that, I can handle this. I think we can all handle this for a little while longer. we can still handle this.
Till Monday.
Well, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's my thing. I'm going to come in with some hair on the back of my neck up if at 2 o'clock on Monday this isn't done. Because I think that that's when I'm going to sound an alarm. But if it happens Tuesday morning, it's like, well okay. You know what I mean? But like, this is truly going to go from what we're calling a distraction to what they're calling a distraction next week, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Because right now they're probably landing in Vegas, getting ready for a game tomorrow. And after that, they're going to all huddle up and get ready for cuts on Tuesday. But come Monday, when they're looking at the film from tomorrow's game against Vegas, they're going to make their decisions. But in the back of the mind, it's going to be, is Brandon going to be one of the 53 we keep? What are we doing here with number 11?
888-957-9570. If you're just joining us here in the last hour, we want to go back to what Vernon Davis said to Steiny and Evan earlier today with regard to Brock Purdy. If you haven't heard it, you're going to want to hear it. We'll get to it. Join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 95.7thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. This is Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. To
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, check this out, because this still stuck with me. I mean, some of this stuff is subtle. Some of it's subtle. You know, and we're sort of at that stage. This is what August football does to you. And I think I even heard John Lynch say something about this recently, where you can tell 49ers, and this is just the, you know, an example, and Ayuk is the current example, but, you know, go through Ayuk yet again, but like, he sort of indicated, why say something about this now? Because everything that's said is dissected, from exact word choice to inflection, all of it. It's just
zero.
Good point.
Yeah.
Great point. Great
from Shanahan example. Yesterday, yeah.
So, I go back to Steiny yesterday being like, should Jed York talk? I'm like, how about a no? No.
Yeah.
No. Don't talk. And so I'll admit that I'm sort of feeling that way even about this comment from Vernon Davis, which is not about Brandon Ayuk, it's about Brock Purdy. And Steiny and E-Dog earlier asked Vernon, just simply sort of his thoughts on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I love Brock Purdy. I think he's great. I think he has a lot of potential. He has a lot of potential to be a great quarterback over time. Right now, he's shown us that he can go out and win games. For sure, but we just don't know how consistent that's going to be, because we haven't had enough data to show that Brock Purdy is here to stay.
I
think he's great. I think he's got a lot of potential.
He's shown us
that he can go out there and win games. Yeah. In other words, he's a game manager. That's what I heard him say.
That's interesting. I didn't
hear
him say that.
That he can go out there and win games.
And win games.
Right. Which
is, game manager doesn't win games now. Game manager just sort of is there while the game is won.
But you're a game manager when you manage to win a game, even though you probably aren't that great. And Vernon says, he's great. He's got the potential to be really good. And then so he goes from great, and he slowly kind of goes down the pecking order of praiseworthy words, is what I heard.
The two things I hear are, first of all, if I were Brock and someone said I had a lot of potential, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me. I have a lot of potential?
Yeah, you got potential.
Caleb Williams has a lot of potential. Jaden Daniels has a lot of potential. Brock Purdy doesn't have a lot of potential. He's already damn done the thing. 2 years, two trips to the NFC title game, Super Bowl, overtime. Like, come on. Don't say I have a lot of potential. And then the other thing, which is we don't have enough data. And the conversation that I found really interesting today was when we sort of threw out the question, like, how long do you get to use the phrase small sample? How long are we doing this? To me, it's not absurd to not be like totally 1,000% sold that Brock Purdy is a great player. But I do think small sample has already passed the level of unfair. And so now I'm like, how long are we doing this? We did this after the first year. You're still doing it after the second year? Can you do it after this year too?
Well, you're going to have to pay him after this year, most likely. So some people would look at it and say, all right, so far so good. 21 regular season, 6 playoff, that's 27 total games. Great. After one more year of a sample, 17 games, maybe it's 20, could be 21, depending on how it goes, then at that point you'll have to make a decision. So I thought it was interesting during the crossover when you asked the guys right now, and I think Evan made the case, he laid out the scenario of what if his first year was just a straight redshirt year, he didn't play, and then year two was 2 years ago, and then year three was last year, and now you sat with a chance to either give him the Jordan Love bag or extend him or not. What would you do? And I think we all agreed that he would get the Jordan Love money.
Yeah, like we always bring this up because I know that, you know, who knows how NFL contracts work and the CBA and stuff like that. Like, Brock Purdy's not even eligible, not allowed to have an extension yet. What if that were not the case? What if Brock Purdy were allowed to get an extension right now and he had gone into this summer being like, I want that because, you know, that,
$50 million, I'd like that.
I'd like $50 million, especially since I've only made like 2 so far in my career. So I'd like to do that, and I don't really want to play football until I have that. What if that had happened this offseason? What do you think the Niners would have done?
They would have given him money.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have given him the full freight, but they would have given him something that would have made him happy to get him out there for another year. And that's because they don't believe that the sample size is small. And so if it was just 21 games, let's just say you know, he had started 21 games and he'd gone 12-11 and they hadn't been a playoff team, but he had had those exact same numbers. He'd looked the exact same, but they just didn't win as many games. Well, then you could look at the sample and say, well, I don't know if the sample would be too small, but you'd want to see another year to see if he could elevate himself to the quarterback that he's been. But I look at those games, 17-4. He's looked really good in the majority of those games, and 4-2 in the playoffs. I don't need to see a bigger sample because he's been so good in that sample size.
Do you know what else I noticed, which I think is really, really interesting? Look, we live in a time where we've all got access to so much. We're all able to share our thoughts in a public manner. We're all able to go on social media and throw stuff out there. And all of us, right, we all have opinions, and let's just collectively get together and admit that none of our opinions are the most educated one. None of us.
It's just an opinion, it doesn't really have to be.
It doesn't have to be, but like, that's a good baseline for me. Let's start there. We're not in the locker room. We're not at practice every day. We're not head coaches in the NFL. We're none of those things. If you listen to that group, you get a very varied look at who Brock Purdy is, who he has been, and what he can be. But if you go to all of these tape people, go to a Baldinger, go to a Cosell, go to a JT O'Sullivan, go to a Jeff Schwartz, go to these people who this is what they're doing for a life and a live. They played in the NFL, or they built NFL films, or whatever.
Baldy's breakdowns.
Whatever. That's your thing. Kurt Warner, every single one of these people will go, dude, look at this. This is special.
I love his tape.
You know, like sure, he doesn't physically pop off the screen, but look at the way he processes this play. Look at the way he sees a field. Look at the way his teammates respond to him. Look.
Yeah, totally.
That's what every one of those people do. And it largely gets blown off, I think, by
because
a lot of the public.
Where he was drafted and his fantasy numbers. So his fantasy numbers aren't that great, Mark, so he can't be that good of a quarterback.
They were better than they were supposed to be. Like, he got drafted as a backup, and he should have been a starter.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you didn't know about the elbow.
I think my parents got Mahomes and then had Brock as their backup, and they kept starting Mahomes, and they kept getting outscored by Brock.
Nah, that's bad. You hate to see that.
Grandy's about to start talking on the radio.
I'm excited.
Now, Grandy, with the guest list that we've had on this show today, Jason LaConfora coming on the show, people who have, I would imagine that there's no way you got a bigger name than that earlier in the day, right?
Actually, two bigger names on at the same time.
No way.
Yeah, how about that?
Baldy and Kittle together on the roast.
You're gonna use George Kittle first?
Yeah, he's kind of boring, isn't
Kittle
he?
Kittle like a nina.
Kittle? What the hell's he ever done?
Yeah, he really brought that receiver dock down.
He ain't won a Super Bowl.
Oh,
that's a good point.
Sorry.
And LaConfora has? Must have missed that.
All right. Yeah, George Kittle was on the freaking station today, people.
Pretty awesome, man.
And if you missed any of it,
With
Baldy. Oh, and Bonte and Joe were there, too. Come on, give them their, you know, whatevers. So, like, that's coming
up
here.
They're always there.
That's true. So that's coming up in 4 minutes, and I wouldn't miss that because it was everything that you hope George Kittle appearances to be, okay? And that's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay. Niners finish up preseason tomorrow?
Can't wait.
All right. Let's do it. Here we go. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.